like our map, if you would, or our GPS for living. So go with me today in your Bibles to Psalm 119. You have a Bible nearby, grab your Bible. Psalm 119, we'll be in that passage a little bit here. Of course, Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Some 176 Bible verses. And every verse other than two in Psalm 119 refer to the Word of God and how important it is. So we're in Psalm 119. And like a GPS, God's Word gives us guidance. It gives us guidance. God's Word gives us understanding. Psalm 119 and verse 34, we read these words. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law or your word. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And it provides me with right judgment. And it provides me with discernment in life's decisions that I need. Moving forward, Psalm 119, verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge or discernment, for I believe your commandment. It also gives light to guide my feet and to guide my path in this dark world. It gives us light. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So where will we find hope? Where will we find hope? We find hope in the scriptures and in the God of the scriptures. The scriptures are indeed the source of hope. Romans 15:4 reads, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, notice it now, might have hope. Through the patience and the comforts of the scriptures, we might have hope. Isn't that cool? To think that through the scriptures, we can find hope. Psalm 119, again, reading in Psalm 119, verse 43, David writes, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances or in your word. Ordinances being another word for his word. And then also in verse 49 and 50, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your words have given me life or hope. The word of God gives us hope indeed. So you and I have a great deal more of hope if we devote more time to the scriptures and less doing other things of lesser priority. Would you agree? We would have more hope in our lives if we spent more time or devoted more time to the scriptures and the reading and the studying and the meditating of it. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we read these words. Verse 25, beginning here, this is the account of Barnabas here and his reaching out to a newer convert by the name of Saul, who would become Paul the Apostle. He says, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So here, dear Barnabas, this dear brother in the Lord, a real encouragement. The word Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement, in fact. He was a real encouragement to this young convert named Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul. And he mentored him. He discipled him. And Barnabas was overseeing the work in a local church at Antioch. And he needed some help. He needed an assistant to come alongside of him and help him in the work there in Antioch. So he recruited Saul of Tarsus, who was coming to be known as Paul the Apostle. Well, together, they devoted, as scripture says here, they devoted an entire year to the project of growing the church there in Antioch and teaching those dear people the word of God. The effort was so successful that people began calling these believers at Antioch by the name of Christ himself, Christ ones, or Christians. That's where the name Christian began from. That's, they were first called Christians at Antioch. And then it says of the Berean Christians later in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that they searched the scriptures daily. The importance of the scriptures in our lives was very evident there in Antioch among these believers and the believers in Berea as well. So just imagine what would happen, beloved, if you devoted a whole year to personal Bible study. It would produce a new you. Wow. What if you said to yourself this year, even now, this year I'm going to become a student in the school of God's word. I'm going to be a student, a pupil who's going to build time into my daily schedule to become a proficient student in the scriptures. You'll have a brighter, more hope-filled year if you do. Now, just as you use soap to stay clean physically, to keep from the virus, you use soap or you hand sanitize and maybe other contagious fluids, etc. Listening to the news just this week, they were saying that studies are out there that there's less flus, the flu virus, and less cold because people are washing their hands more, etc. Well, so too, you and I must wash our hearts and we must wash our minds with soap to stay clean spiritually and to keep from the virus of sin and from the evil world system that is anti-God and the old flesh, that enemy within us, and our external enemy, which of course is Satan, who's out to steal and to destroy and to kill. We need the soap to stay clean spiritually. So our soap, if you would, is what? Our soap is the scriptures. The word of God is our soap. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to your word. So how do we keep our way clean, spiritually speaking, as followers of Jesus? It's through the cleansing agent of the word of God, the soap of the word of God, if you would. So you need to grab a hold of your spiritual soap to keep yourself spiritually fit and keep yourself spiritually clean from the contagious things that are out there in our world today. So the most helpful way for you to do that I would encourage you to do, beloved, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ at Cornerstone Bible Church, is to find a notebook. You can get them at a dollar store. It doesn't have to be anything fancy or expensive. Just find a notebook and a good pen that you'd like to use. And then write down in your notebook the acronym SOAP, S-O-A-P. And write them down, just as you see on the screen there that Nick has for us today. Write them down on your note paper, following each other, spacing them out from each other, writing the word SOAP down there on your page, and be ready, okay? Be ready. So S is for scriptures. So here's what you do. You write out the passage of scripture there on your page beside the letter S. You write out the passage of scripture that you're reading, whatever book of the Bible you're studying or reading, you write it out, the passage, the address of it, if you would. And then you have a prayer. You have a prayer for God's Spirit to open up your spiritual eyes so that you can observe and understand what you are reading. David prayed a prayer like this: open my eyes, not his physical eyes, he's talking about his spiritual eyes, his faith, his eyes of faith, so that he might behold wondrous things out of God's law. That's Psalm 119, 18. So here's what you need to do. Two things. After you've written the scripture passage down, you've had a prayer for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to help you to understand what you're reading, here's what you need to do. You need to, first of all, read the scripture passage that you have before you. John the Apostle, while exiled on the island of Patmos, wrote these words: blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, Revelation 1:3. How many of you read your Bibles? I'm not asking for a show of hands or anything here, but how many of you read your Bible every day? You need to, if you will find hope and peace and purpose in your life and have the strength to persevere through this COVID-19 pandemic. We of all people, as Christians, should be able to cope in the midst of this if we spend time in the Word of God every day and seeking God in prayer, which we'll touch base with in a minute. So make it your goal, beloved, to spend more time reading and meditating on and hearing and studying God's Word than time on your electronic devices or your television or your favorite hobby or your sports. Spend more time reading the scriptures and you're going to have more hope. You want to be blessed by God? That's what he says there. Be blessed by God is the one who reads the scriptures, John said in Revelation 1:3. You want to be blessed by God? Read your Bible every day. Secondly, you need to meditate on the scriptures. Not just read it, but meditate on it. The passage that you've chosen to read and meditate on, you meditate on it. The word meditate comes from the Hebrew word haggah, and it means to ponder. It means to reflect. It means to contemplate. It's kind of a quiet, prayerful contemplation of spiritual truth that you're thinking on as you read the Word of God. And of course, you read and you meditate on the scripture, all with the goal to obeying the scriptures, to obeying what you read. Listen to what God told Joshua, the newly appointed leader of Israel, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He said this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." I was reading a verse in the Psalms the other day that talked about that very thing, about meditating on the word of God at nighttime. It will help you to sleep better. It really makes a difference, doesn't it? "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." That is, those who meditate on the word of God and observe it and obey it, they will prosper. They will be blessed by God in their lives. So the first letter is S, the scriptures. Second letter in our acronym SOAP is O, and that's for observation. For observation. For observation, you're going to look for some key truths in that particular passage of scripture that you're reading. For example, who the writer is. You're going to want to know that. You're going to want to know who the audience is that that writer is writing to. You're going to want to know what the main passage or the main message or the main theme is of that scripture that you're reading. So is there a repetition of words or words that stand out to you, repeated words? That obviously kind of is kind of the theme or the message that the writer and the Holy Spirit wants you to get whenever you see words repeated in scripture. So those words are important, and other words that might stand out to you, maybe just circle them or take a highlighter and circle them. Other verses or phrases that speak to you, just highlight them and then write them down later. Write them down beside the word observation. And in one or two sentences, write down what you feel is the main truth or the main point of what the writer is saying. So it's important for you to write these things down so that you are, I know some people don't like to write things and that's fine, but at least have them in your head somehow. And I find journaling helps them to get into me better, into my mind and my heart better by writing and journaling them down. But maybe that's not your thing to do. Maybe type them into your, do them on your iPhone or your iPad. Just speak it into it or something. So you have it recorded somehow of what you are studying, what you are reading. So again, that's the word observation. And then the third letter is the letter A in our acronym SOAP, and that's for application. And this is probably the most important part of your Bible reading meditation time is, how does it apply to you? You know, if you just read it and goes in one ear and out the other ear as it were, and doesn't go into your heart, you're not applying it, then it's not going to bring as much profit to you as the actual application is. So here you're going to ask the question, what is God saying to me personally as I read this passage of scripture? What changes do I need to make? So here's kind of where you become a Bible spectator. You know, you might be a spectator at a sporting event, and that's great, though that's limited these days with COVID-19, but you might watch it on TV or whatever. But be a Bible spectator. And to be a Bible spectator, you need to answer the questions of the acronym SPECT, S-P-E-C-T. And that is, S is there a sin that I need to flee? So write that question down. Is there a sin that I need to flee from? The letter S. And then is the letter P is there a promise that I need to claim for me personally? There's a promise there in that passage of scripture. Then I can write that down, or I can think about that promise and highlight it there as I read. And then E is, in the word spect, is there an example to follow? Many examples in scripture of things that we can follow, or characters, Bible characters that we can follow, their example, or maybe an example not to follow. So that's something that I can consider. And then C is there a command that I need to seek to obey in my own life? There's lots of commands in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And so I can be thinking about a command that I need to be obedient in as part of the application of my life. For example, Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another. That's a command. I need to be kind to my family members, my neighbors, those I work with. Be kind, tenderhearted. I need to be very tenderhearted towards others. That's a command. And then forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. That's a command. I need to be forgiving to other people. So maybe that's what God is speaking to me about as I'm reading that particular passage of scripture. And then, of course, T in the acronym of SPECT is there something to thank God for? The letter T, thank God for. And so what you do, you write that down in your notebook. Any of those questions, maybe one of those questions gets answered. Or maybe none of them do, but there's still something else there. Maybe there's just a theme or message that you feel is for you, then it's important to write it down and to journal it in your own personal walk with the Lord, what God is saying to you personally. I find journaling things really helps me to grow more in my faith, in my walk with the Lord. So what should be the desired end of your Bible reading? I believe author Bible teacher Lawson W. Murray gives us the answer. He said this, the desired end of Bible reading is to connect with, to be transformed by, and to live in obedience to the one of whom it speaks. And that is so true. And then the letter P in our acronym of SOAP is for prayer. A good rule of thumb is to write out a prayer of commitment or confession to God, or speak it into your phone or your iPad or whatever, however you communicate and do things that way. Make a prayer to the Lord, back to the Lord from what you just, I just spoke to you about in light of what you just read. Give praise to God for some truth or some attribute about him, or how you desire to personally obey what God just spoke to you about. Put it into a prayer. If you need to just verbalize it, fine, or just write your prayer out is a really good idea as well. I know it takes time, but it is a very profitable spiritual exercise to help you grow moving forward. So the end of your prayer was something you want to express thanks to God about. So that's the letter G in the GPS is God's word. The letter P in GPS, the letter P is pray believingly, persistently, and specifically. Pray believingly, persistently, and specifically. So how do we pray? Well, first of all, pray believingly. Listen to what Jesus promised in Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And then secondly, pray persistently. Pray persistently. Keep at it, in other words. Keep praying. Never give up praying. Be like the widow who persisted in coming to the judge for pardon in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. And she kept coming to this judge for pardon, and she did just that. And because in his own words, her continual coming to him wearied him. So he kind of gave in to her, and he pardoned her. Luke chapter 18, verse 5. And just before that, Jesus was saying, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So Jesus himself taught us to keep praying, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking at his door in prayer, Matthew 7, verse 7. In other words, don't give up. Keep persisting in your prayers. And then thirdly, pray specifically. So not only pray believingly and pray persistently, but pray specifically. That's so important. And, we need to pray specifically about things if we're going to see God answer specifically. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your request, that is your specific request, be made known unto God. So it's important to pray specifically. And that's why it's good to write down your prayer, have a prayer list of things that you're praying about specifically. And you'll see when God answers that prayer. And quite often he answers with a yes, sometimes with a no, sometimes with a wait. but he always answers your prayer one way or another. And then secondly, why do we pray? So how do we pray, but also why do we pray? Well, here are five reasons real quickly why we should pray. Number one, it's a matter of obedience to our master. Jesus commanded us to pray. John 6:23, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. So it's a matter of obedience. Number two, it makes a huge difference. It really does. How many believe that? Amen. Prayer makes a huge difference. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, prayer changes things. Amen. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people too. We need to be praying for people, praying for one another, praying for family members, praying for our neighbors, praying for our church family, praying for missionaries and those that are in the public scene out there with those are our medical people and those in the front lines. And prayer makes a difference. Our government leaders, prayer makes a big difference. It made a big difference in Peter's life in Acts chapter 12. And let me read here for you in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," the angel said to Peter, and his chains fell off of his hands. And we know the wonderful account how God delivered Peter through that angel from that prison and from the prison guards in answer to prayer that was going on at John Mark's house there. And so prayer made a big difference in Peter's life. Did it ever? And then number three, prayer brings us closer to God. That's another reason why we need to pray. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. So when you don't talk with someone, you lose closeness with them. And that's kind of happening with all the isolation and whatnot that's going on with COVID-19. We're losing some connection with people, whether it be friends or even family members and others, because we're not able to talk with them like we used to be able to, or be with them, etc. And that's no different with God. If you don't talk with God, you will not feel close to him. It's that simple. That's why prayer is so important. It's your way to stay connected and stay close to God in your relationship with him. It's that simple. Number four, it is necessary so we can have victory. Do we have an enemy? You want to believe it. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. And to defeat Satan, we need to don the part of the armor of God called prayer, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, being watchful to this end. We need to put on the armor of prayer to live in victory over Satan. Then number five, it glorifies God. That's another reason to pray. John 14:13, Jesus promised, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So isn't that what life Christian is all about? It's glorifying him in all we do. You want to glorify God, dear Christian, then pray. Pray believingly, persistently, and specifically. So how's your prayer life? Is there room for improvement? I think all of us would admit, myself included, that there's room for improvement in our prayer life. It was William Farley who wrote, "Needy Christians pray. They pray often. They pray with desperation. They pray with confidence. They pray with gratitude," end of quote. So more is wrought on our knees in prayer than anything else could ever do. And then thirdly, the letter S in our GPS is spirit empowered. Spirit empowered. The Holy Spirit empowered living. Romans 15:13. Let me read that verse for you. Romans 15:13. And we'll see how important the Holy Spirit plays in our lives in bringing about hope. Romans 15:13 reads, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Isn't that good? So if we're going to have hope, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You may have an electronic powered GPS, but you have a Spirit-empowered life through the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives within you. So how does Spirit-empowered living show up in the lives of believers, followers of Christ? I'm just going to mention really quickly here because our time is running by here. First of all, there will be Spirit-empowered witnessing. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power so that you can be a witness for the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, there will be Spirit-empowered spiritual gifts as well. God gives every believer a gift, at least one gift, and if not another. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation or the gifts of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then thirdly, there will be a Spirit-empowered fruit. That is, the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in your life. Galatians 5:22, that love and that joy and that peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and meekness and faith and self-control will be empowered in your life by the Holy Spirit. And then fourthly, there will be Spirit-empowered enlightenment of Scripture. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And then fifthly, there will be the Spirit-empowered prayer. Praying in the Spirit will happen to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. God's GPS to destination hope. Do you want hope? How are you going to get there? There's the answer. There's God's GPS to you through God's word, through prayer, and through Spirit empowerment living in your life. You will indeed have hope. You will have hope. I want to close with this quote by Life Words. It goes like this. The arrival of the coronavirus in our lives has very quickly turned our normal patterns of life upside down. We are having to work out new ways of living, being, relating, working, worshiping in real time. Our living hope is that God is with us as we go through this season, as individuals, as families, and as a church fellowship, and as human beings together. And we are grateful that we have the Bible, Life's Words, to help us in this journey, reminding us of God's love, closeness, and God's faithfulness, end of quote. So dear ones, do you have this hope that God is with you as you journey through this season of uncertainty, of confusion, of chaos, of fear, of isolation, of loneliness? Do you have this hope that God is with you as you journey through all of this? If not, on the authority of the Word of God, only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can give you this hope eternal. And only through faith in Jesus Christ can you experience God's love, God's closeness, and God's faithfulness in your life. Father, we thank you for the Word of God to our hearts here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we as your people, we as your called out ones, called out from this world to be set apart, to live holy lives, so much need this destination to hope. We so much need this GPS to destination hope. God's word, prayer, and Spirit-empowered living in our lives. And may we as your people grab a hold of this GPS, and may we use it to guide us through whatever the future is in our lives. And we know we'll be right on course if we follow your GPS in how you want us to live moving forward in 2021. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close this morning. We'll give Nick a minute or so there.